In our Bibles tonight, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 3 through 6, you'll see here that the Bible is talking about not defrauding that which is the husband and wife relationship. Then it says in verse 5, it says, defraud not one another except with consent for a time that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, come together again. And so there is a time when a person does not go through the time of defrauding, but there is a time also when one would withhold their affection towards another for the sake of fasting. Then it goes on as it talks about that which is the gift of God, and then it goes on as we talk about here how Paul is, I believe, speaking his heart, as he says in verse 8 and 9, I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them that they abide even as I. And I think Paul, speaking of himself there, of course, very easy to understand. He says, but if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And of course, what he's talking about containing, if a person cannot contain themselves within their own selves, control, but they fall into lustful fleshly ways, then it is better to marry than to burn. I've said this in our church, that there's a reason I don't marry people inside of the church auditorium, and that is the bed defiled. When a person defiles the bed, of course, then they lose the right, I believe, of being married in the church auditorium. Now, we do a ceremony, and we'll do a ceremony at somebody's house or in Brother Wislowski's Sunday school room, where I've done it often, or in my office or something like that. But we try to keep a wedding for those that have kept themselves onto the marriage altar. It's a very prestigious wedding event, I believe, as it's making a statement publicly that needs to be made in front of a generation that should be challenged to keep themselves onto the time of marriage. Here we understand in our Bibles that there is a best for you. For those that's thinking and praying about marriage, God has somebody that he is making that is best for you. Now, because of that, you ought not to be in a hurry. You ought not to settle for second best. You ought not to settle for a plan C, D, E, or F. You ought to decide that God knows best, and God always even knows best when it comes to the timing in your life. You know, we'll begin to see tonight different illustrations that we'll give, but I want you to notice some statements tonight that it's better to wait and to have a happy marriage than to get married in a hurry and live all of your lives unhappily married. You know, in the DNA of all relationships, you're going to find out that man and women were made for relationships. You're going to find out that you're made with the capacity to be able to choose. And then you're made to take that responsibility based on your choices. You make the wrong choice, then of course, then you will bear that. You make the right choice, then of course, you will bear that. Understand that who you marry will be the one that you will be with all the days of your life, as the Bible teaches and so illustrated in most Christian weddings, till death do you part. So we understand the significance of wise choices. Now let me give you just a couple of things to think about tonight. Statement number one, you must avoid temptations and wrong reasons for getting married. Avoid temptations and wrong reasons for getting married. Now I'm going to say this right up front. You say, but preacher, this is not to me, because after all, I am married. Can I tell you that I, as a married man, my wife is a married lady, oftentimes we will find ourselves in places of giving counsel to people, even though we might not be their counselor. And they would ask questions such as about marriage. It would be good for you to be able to wise up in this area of marriage. You know, now some people, they get married for the wrong reasons. One of the reasons that maybe somebody will get married is because they want to escape an unhappy home. They have an unhappy home, And so they want to escape it. And they think, well, the best escape route is get married. Another reason is because there's the temptation of finding a security blanket that's not your mom and daddy. So they're looking for a security blanket that's not mom and dad. So they look for that knight in shining armor as he perhaps rides his horse and comes into their life. And so there's the temptation of finding somebody to be a security blanket. There's also the possibility of looking for someone to save face. All your friends are getting married and you're not married yet. So you get tired of hearing the jeering. You get tired of hearing the jokes. You get tired of hearing the sly comments. And so you rush yourself into a relationship and getting married way too quick and not even God's choice because you want to save face. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24 and in verse 6, the Bible says, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there's safety." When you hear the preacher get up and the preacher says, don't rush it. When you hear your parents tell you, don't rush it. When you hear a college chapel speak at Lone Star Baptist College or some other place and they say, don't rush it. When you hear your grandmother tell you or granddad tell you, don't rush it. Maybe all of those know something that you don't know yet. You know, there is such a thing as making an unwise decision. There is such a thing as unwise counsel. Not all counsel is good. Sometimes peer pressure will speak louder than Bible. I've said this often, that blood is thicker than Bible. Blood is thicker than Bible. Many times a person would choose a personality over a Bible principle. Friends and family pushing you all the time into a relationship, if you're not careful, you'll succumb to that. Especially those of you who's trying to live for Christ and you're in church and you're trying to do what is right, and mom and dad says, well, and they're not in church and they're not trying to do what's right, and they see this guy that is sharp looking and he has at least half of a brain, and so they begin to push you in that direction to get to know that guy in an unorthodox way. Can I tell you, you better hold off. Make sure that you receive wise counsel. Don't forget that Isaac married at the age of 40, but he was happy after that. I tell you about Gary Cottle. Gary Cottle, I think, I'm not sure, Mrs. Wells probably would have a better recollection of this than I, but I think that Gary was 52 and Ruth was about 47 or something like that, in mid-40s or something like that. And did you know they waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited, and Gary had a lot of people just saying, you need to at least date. And he would look at the girls and he would pass a judgment and say, nope, don't see the one right now. Don't see. He wasn't pushed, but when him and Ruth got married, now they have three kids. Okay, he'll have kids when he turns grandpa age, that will be his children. They will keep him youthful for a long time or wear him out. Okay? Now, but understand this. You know, God is not hating you because he's not brought somebody special in your life yet. You know, God might be preparing somebody else 20, 30, 40 hours away. As he's preparing you, then all of a sudden that person get a job transfer and is transferred here from another solid, Bible-believing, independent Baptist church that loves the Lord, that's excited about serving Jesus Christ, and just because you kept your fire going for God, God says, hey, that's a good match right there. But you have to decide that you're going to stay on fire for Jesus Christ. God will not send you who you hope to be. God will send you oftentimes more than not who you really are. So you be careful that you earn the right for God to send somebody special in your life. You know, people oftentimes will get married because they're looking for a physical relationship. Don't forget what Paul said here. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 8, he said, but I say therefore, he says to the unmarried and widows, he says, it is good for them if they abide even as I. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do as a single adult that other people that are married, that have two kids, three kids, four kids, or whatever, cannot have the liberty to do, because after all, they have a greater responsibility in an area that you have not yet been introduced to. And because of that, you have more freedoms in certain areas to be able to serve Jesus Christ. So, you know, you're better off not to marry than to marry somebody and be unfaithful. May I remind you that John Wesley's wife, and he said this in his journals, he said that he was driven to prayer because he had a vindictive, hateful wife. His wife caused him to have a greater prayer life. Why? And he talked of times where the wife would come in and he would be kneeling down to pray and she would take a book and smack him upside the head as hard as she could and say, pray to your God, and then watch this, walk away. Now, later on, she made many decisions for Christ. Later on, now this is before children came, this is before salvation came in her life, this is before you hear about such a godly woman and stuff like this, but can I tell you, you understand that there for a while it wasn't that way. Okay, to avoid bad marriage, apply some dating and courtship principles. Apply some dating and courtship principles before you get married. Put some things down. I will not do this. I will not do that. I will do this. Put some, and you know the principles that we've taught. Okay? All right? Think about this. Okay, they're looking. Maybe the reason some people get married and maybe the reason that some people do it at the wrong time is because they're looking for a way to escape the parents' pressure because of household family rules. It's just like the kids saying, I don't like rules, so I'm going to go join the military. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. You know, wherever you go, you're going to have somebody you're going to answer to. We all answer to God. Amen. Is that not true? Amen. So you're going to have somebody to be able to answer to. Now, Mom, be careful. One of the worst things you could ever do is, you need to hurry up and get married because I'm wanting grandkids. It's a no-no. Amen. Never push your kids in a direction to fulfill your happiness. You know, the goal should be a mutual happiness, not children. Not children. You know, it was Dr. John L. Rice that said this. He said, if a woman can't have children, you ought not to marry them. Now, I strongly disagree with that. Because I don't think that you ought to base your marriage on whether you can or cannot have children. I think you ought to base any relationship that you have based entirely on the will of God. Okay? All right? So you must avoid temptations and wrong reasons to get married. Statement number next. You must accept valid reasons for waiting. Valid reasons. Oh, preacher, I'm 16 and a half, and I don't have a guy. What do you say about that? Good. Amen. Wonderful. Amen. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen. By the way, you still got pimples. You know, don't worry about it right now. Okay? Oh, you say, you're making fun of me. No. Wait till you get a little bit older, mature-wise. Okay? Here we go. You ready? Why is it that people don't wait? What are reasons that people don't wait? Well, as I gave you those lists, let me also give you some things that you must accept as valid reasons for waiting. Let me give you a couple of them. You ready? Immaturity. Okay, if a person is immature, then they ought to wait. They ought to wait. And by the way, ask your parent if you're mature enough. They'll tell you. If your parent is saying, go clean your room, that's right, put away your cars, and you're 19 and a half, you're probably not mature enough yet. You know, hey, son, you know, go pick your clothes off the floor. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? I've been married for 4 years. My husband still puts his clothes on the floor. Maturity. Okay, let me show you a Bible antidote for that question every single time. Look at this. This is really neat. Proverbs chapter 24, look at verse 27. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 27. Here's the Bible antidote and what God says when a person is mature enough to get married. You ready? This is what God says. All right? So you say, well, I'll tell you what, I don't agree with. Okay, I'm sorry. But this is what God says. Okay, he says, prepare thy work without. He says, make it fit for yourself in the field. He said, and afterwards build thine home. All right, so here's what you see. You see that first he says this. He says, prepare thy work without. In other words, you're preparing to know how to do the work without. Now, where without? In your field. In your field. Okay, in other words, if you're going to be an accountant, then what you're going to do is you're going to prepare your work without. You're going to learn about accounting. And then what are you going to do? You're going to move into your field. And then after that, you build your house. So basically what God is saying, he says, you need to prepare yourself. Come on, your wife is going to want to eat. She is going to want nice things. So God says before you enter into building your house, two things you ought to do, prepare thy work without. Okay, in other words, you prepare yourself. What are you going to do? What is it that you're going to do in life? Okay, earn what you're going to do. Now, by the way, amazingly, in most foreign countries, they have this down. They have this down. Amazingly, in most foreign countries, here's what their order is. You know, I'm going to go, I'm going to get my education in the field that I am going to be productive in, then I get married. Because they know, you ask most Filipinos, you ask them, hey, are you going to get married yet? They said, no, because I'm not done college yet. I'm not prepared enough yet. Because it takes money to treat a wife right. Okay? But in America, we have this craze thing that goes on. I've got to do it now. But most of you fellows could not support a wife now. So first you prepare your work without, and then you make it fit, you fit yourself into that field. In other words, now you prepared yourself, now you're going to fit yourself into that field. Once you fit yourself into that field, then afterwards you build your house. Okay? I believe this, no man has any business getting married if he doesn't have a job. How in the world are you going to feed yourself? Much less your wife. Okay? You don't have business getting married unless you can support her. She is going to want to eat. And not sleep in a tent. You know, before a man gets married, he ought to have that career settled. He ought to have it settled. What are you going to do with your life? What direction are you going to go? Are you ready for that? Okay, if you're not, I know a lot of people, they'll get married and they're in debt. I mean, just debt. Now, by the way, you don't have to be debt-free to get married. But can I tell you, it's going to be harder. It's going to be harder. If you don't have two nickels to rub together, then you're going to have a difficult time because you're not going to make it on two pennies being rubbed together. It's going to take more. Okay, all right. Sometimes a person will take and they will rush into marriage because of the fact that there's immaturity. Sometimes because there's infatuation there. They're infatuated with someone. You know, they walk down the street and they see this girl or they see this guy, and all of a sudden now it's love at first sight. You know, and now all of a sudden they're walking, their eyes are, you know, floating, and they're just, you know, kind of like in a daze and stuff like somebody hit them upside the head with a rock. All right? Okay, but can I tell you, love at first sight, that's pretty rare. That's pretty rare. You know, many, many times a person that's infatuated with someone, they want to get married right now. They can't wait. But can I tell you, real love always takes time to grow. Takes time to grow. You've got to get to know the person. You've got to find out if there's a match there. Come on. The more things that you like together, probably the less frustration and fights you're going to have. Come on. I mean, he likes to ride bikes. She doesn't. He says, hey, honey, you want to go bike riding? No! Okay. Hey, would you like to go out to eat? No! Okay. Hey, I'm reading a book. Could I tell you about it? No! Okay. Would you like to go play in the street? No! Okay. If you don't have things in common, you're going to have a rough marriage. You are going to have a rough marriage. Hey, let's cook supper tonight together. No, I don't want you in my kitchen. You're going to have a rough marriage. You know, you have to be able to identify with each other. Now, I can understand love. Love or lust at first sight is probably more possible. You know, if there's a strong physical attraction, then you better wait to make sure that's not the only attraction, because later, that would change. It would change. The more older a person becomes, oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes, more than not, the less attractive they are. You know why? Because we grow old. It's true. The scariest day of my life is when I looked in the mirror and I saw my dad. Brother Palmer, what are you waving at your daddy for? You're not going to be invited over their house anymore. But can I tell you, listen, you know, because the age, when my brother died, my wife could attest to this, when my brother died, I laid his picture down beside my dad's picture, and they looked like twins. I couldn't tell one from the other. They were that close. All right? So what I'm saying is this. Be careful that you don't get married just because you're infatuated with someone. Another reason people get married is this. Sometimes because of ignorance. They don't wait. And they just hurry up. And, you know, valid reasons do they accept, but not really valid in that it's healthy. But here's what the Bible says, Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 5, the Bible says the thoughts of the diligent tend only to pleasantness. It says, listen to this, but of everyone that is hasty only to want. Okay? All right? Now, can I tell you, if you get married too soon because you just want and you're infatuated with a person, you've not done your due diligence, you've not checked them out, you're marrying in ignorance, can I tell you, you're going to wake up one day sorry. You're going to wake up and say, man, I wish I would not have hastily pushed this along. Listen to me, while you're dating and while you're courting, you know, that's a time of investigating. You're investigating them. Watch how they eat. Watch how much they eat. Watch their table manners. Or if they have any manners. Watch it. Watch it. Watch how they respect their parents. The same way a girl normally respects the authority in her life, same way a guy normally respects the authority in his life, is the same way they're going to respect you. So watch, are they flippant? Are they sassy? Are they impolite? What is it about them? Okay, watch them, okay? Statement number next, okay? Unresolved problems. You know, now we're talking about that you must accept valid reasons for waiting. Immaturity, I said. Infatuation. Ignorance. Unresolved problems. Here's what it says. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 11, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Okay, here's a very good verse for this illustration. If somebody quits gambling the night before you get married and they say, I want you to know, gambling is now over. Can I tell you, it's probably not. Let them prove themselves long before you marry them. Okay? If they're always lying and lying and lying and lying, and they say, I promise you, I promise you, I promise you, when we get married, I'll never lie like that again. I look at him, I say, Bubba, prove it. I give you 8 months, you're on trial. You say, well, that might break his heart and that might ruin the relationship. It's better to have it ruined before than have a lifetime of ruin after. If they're having trouble with thievery, if they're having trouble being unfaithful, watch them. Watch their church attendance. How much do they really love God? Are they reading their Bible? Do they go soul winning? Do they pay attention in church? When somebody gets on to them, such as a mom or a dad, do they laugh them to scorn? Watch them. Examine them. Because if you're going to marry them, you're going to be with them a long time. I mean, you're going to be with them a long time. You know, be careful not to dive into something too quick. The greatest influence, that you have in making a decision should be before marriage, not after. Okay, watch this. Well, you know, preacher, you know he's not perfect. You know he's got problems, okay, but you got to ask yourself this question. Are you willing to put up with those problems all the days of your life? Okay, this is probably not a good lesson to teach. When I'm heading to the Philippines, you might not want me back. Okay, but the greatest, okay, so, you know, if you don't like something before marriage, stay with the thought, you're probably not going to like it after. If you don't like something before marriage, you're probably not going to like it after. In other words, you know, I know a preacher one time said, you know, I watched my wife, and before marriage, she would, I watched her, and she would take the ketchup bottle, barely put the lid on, put it in the refrigerator. But I thought for sure that after we got married, that would change. He said, so lo and behold, very first time I had a hot dog, he said, got that thing out. He said, I always had the habit of shaking. I didn't check the lid because, I mean, after all, I thought we got married. So here's what I did. Got the ketchup bottle out and I shook it. Ketchup just spewed everywhere. See, you know, make sure that they're knowing how to put the ketchup bottle on before you marry them, the lid. Amen? That's important. Okay? The needs need to be resolved prior to. Ready? Okay, so marriage doesn't solve the problem. Well, I know that they would be different if they just got married because, after all, that's what changed Uncle So-and-so. Well, Uncle So-and-so might have been a rare dog. Might not be that way for the general population. Come on. Hey, be careful, watch it, be careful. I'm going to tell you how it is. Well, you know, he's this way around all these people over here, but when he's around me, he's just so different. That's because he wants you. But once he got you, you're going to be like these people over here. Do you understand? I mean, anybody can put their game face on for a little while. Come on, I've seen guys do this. I've seen guys pull their britches up, tuck their stomachs in, poke their chest up, walk around like they got muscles. When they turn the corner, all of a sudden they breathe and everything. You like that, didn't you, Kenny? I mean, there's no more chest. It just fell into the drawers. It's where you get Chester drawers. Be careful. Another one is illness. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 8, here's what it says. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Now, what's that mean? Here's what this means. Be careful, okay? Just be careful that you do not fall in the folly of the fools, which is deceit. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking your bride-to-be your bride-to-be saying that she wants to do this, or the husband-to-be saying he wants to do this, is to make sure that you're physically what you should be before getting married. Make sure they know your physical limitations. Make sure of that. I remember my wife and I sitting down, and she told me about the hole she had in her heart, and she had said that the doctors did say something to her, like, not sure if you could have children. And if I could not have children, would that bother you? And I said, not at all. Not at all. I'm not marrying you for children. I'm marrying you because I love you, and I believe that it is 100% the will of God. All right? Now, and so understand this, okay, that things that should not be hidden when it comes to the physical. You know, David Brainerd was engaged to Jonathan Edwards' daughter, and she wanted to marry him, and Brainerd said, I love you deeply, but I cannot marry you because I'm dying of tuberculosis. He said, I love you. I'm not gonna be here for you. And I want to marry you, but I refuse to, because I know I'm dying of tuberculosis. Now, wait a minute. So share, now you know, and if the wife would have said, and of course she did in this case, Jonathan Edwards' daughter did do this. Her name was Jairus, and she did say this. She said, no, I want to marry you still. I want to marry you. Please marry me. And David Brainerd held his ground. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. Okay? But be sure you share illnesses. Are you ready? Here we go. Two more. You ready? The lack of approval of counselors. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Ready? Here it is. But in a multitude of counselors, they are established. Now, what is established? Purposes. Give your preacher and your parents veto power. Okay? Now, let me say something. If I, as pastor, counsel somebody and parents are for it and pastors for it, then you be for it. You be for it. If I counsel somebody and you say, well, I don't know why pastor's not going to marry them, don't do an investigation. Please let people be people. Please love people for who people are. Allow me to be pastor to everybody. Amen? Okay, all right. Statement number next. I'm saying this, lastly, hear this. The lack of God's leading. Lack of God's leading. Here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 27. The Bible says, art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. All right, so other words, here's what you're getting out of this verse. Be neutral. Don't be swayed one way or the other. If you're bound, stay bound. If you're loose, stay loose. Let God be the one that brings somebody in your life. God can do that, you know. God can bring somebody special right to you. So don't just decide you're going to do whatever you want to do. You allow yourself to be in the place. Now, by the way, just because you're going to a good church, you say, man, going to a good church, that increases my chances of finding somebody great. You can make a wrong choice in a good church. Did you know that? Did you know that? You know, that's how come you cannot just go and say, okay, well, I tell you what, I see her and she is just absolutely gorgeous. You heard about the one Larry Brown told about, didn't you? Got married, time to retire, went into the private chambers, and all of a sudden he sees her over there taking off her eyelashes, putting them back. All of a sudden she's putting her hand up into her mouth and loosening something there and pulls it out. There's her upper partial plate, laying it right over there. She begins to comb her hair, and something came loose, and so she just took it off and just laid it right there. And he thought, whoa, my, things are not like I thought they would be. But then, you know, it really topped it off when she went over to the chair and she took the bottom of her leg off and laid it over, and then she hopped over. Now, can I tell you? Okay, I got to tell you my French fry story. I'm done. Preacher in Ohio told me this story, so I don't know if it's true, because I don't know if preachers in Ohio always tell the truth. Heard this story many years ago, traveling. Here's what the preacher said. He said, preacher, he said, two older people went into McDonald's. You remember this one? And this kid went into McDonald's and they sat down. Younger preacher comes in. As the younger preacher comes in, he notices they bought a hamburger, some French fries, one Coke. He watched the husband as he severed the hamburger in half, put one on one side, one on the other, and he counted out the French fries, one for you, one for me, 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 evenly divided. He said they had prayer. He said about that time, he said the young preacher walked over and said, hey, listen, you don't have to divide your hamburger or your French fries. I'll buy you both one. Husband said, no, we share in everything we do. We just share. We love each other so much. So a young pastor went over, sat down, watched them. They were eating. You know, well, at least he was. She's just kind of watching him, just deeply in love. So he just ate and ate and ate, and she just stared at him, just deeply in love. He was finishing up and drank half the Coke. Young pastor came over again and said, hey, look, I'll buy you. You can have the rest of it. Go ahead, eat the other half of the hamburger, half of fries, drink the whole Coke. I'll buy your wife a meal. About that time, the man said, nope, nope, nope. We share in everything we do. Spit out his teeth, hand him to the wife, and said, honey, your turn. Your turn. And you're laughing like it's been a long time since I told that here. Marriage is a really important thing. Mrs. Wells and I, 31 years, 31. Heading up to the 35, then comes the 40. Then comes the 45, then the 50. 50, maybe one day we'll reach to where the Davises are. They just celebrated, I think, last year, year before, 70 years of marriage. Isn't that neat? That is very neat. So, oh, preacher, I just don't know if I could do that. You do it 1 year at a time. Amen. 1 year at a time. 1 day at a time. Just be sure, young people, that you know. You just can't say, well, I tell you what, I just think she's pretty. You can't go by that all the time. Well, I just think he's got muscles. That'll change too. Change too. Why, they're just so smart. They think they can read and they're smart. That'll change. That'll change. I'm saying this, take your time. And if you're an adult, don't push kids together. I mean, when I first came, there was somebody out here, it was two little six-year-old kids. I don't remember who they were. And one of the parents said, hey, look at so-and-so. Aren't they cute? And I'm thinking, you have no idea what you're doing. Because you're putting something in a six-year-old mind that shouldn't even be there right now. They ought to be playing airplanes. Isn't it neat? You walk by the nursery, you know who's in there by the sounds they make. The little girl's real quiet, and they're over there just real, running their little dolls around the floor, or whatever they do. And here's a boy, you know, he's got a plane, he's got a car. He's making, yeah, poo, 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 woo. Now, can I tell you, though, let's be careful and help our kids. Amen. Okay? Let's direct them the right way. You say, oh, preacher, they're not going to have perfect marriages. Why even try? Because you love them. Because you want to help them, that's why.